thank you so much for that, children. And again, thank you, workers. And I normally use a lapel mic, but it got broke. That's not proper English. It was broke. And so it did drop and it did break. And so I'm using this tonight. Dr. John O'Rice has always been. Dr. Rice went home to be with the Lord in 1980. Matter of fact, this year, if he was still living, he would be 119. And just celebrated his birthday. Let me see if I remember right. His birthday is on December the 11th. And he'd be 119 years of age if he was alive today. Of course, the founding editor of The Sword of the Lord. And from him, it went to Curtis Hudson. And from him, of course, to Shelton Smith. But Dr. Rice has a CD that we have put there. Of course, he was the pastor for a long time, the Galilean Baptist Church. And some of you know that very well. And that's in our city. But Dr. Rice put this out many years ago. Of course, you would suspect so. But it's called Christmas Joy. And has, I believe, a sermon on there, maybe a couple of songs. And that'd be great. Well, Dr. Hudson had some daughters, and one of his daughters put out this book. It's called Mimi's Bracelet, and it's a great book to be able to see how to take a bracelet, really using the like the color string of many years ago. I got saved. David Lee was connected up with the Child Evangelism outfit and came and, of course, witnessed to me that night in that carnival ground. I got saved. Well, you know, this is using a bracelet, and it has a good, wonderful storyline there about leading your children and grandchildren to Christ. And so that's a wonderful book there if you'd like to get that. Good Christmas gift for somebody. Take your Bible, please, and go to Book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. And I tell you, I miss Mrs. Wells being in Florida. I'm not sleeping well at night. I'm having nightmares. Poor me, I'm not eating well. And I am just having a very hard time. And so please pray for me and that I do survive. Now my children that are living with me still, that have not forsaken the nest, they're trying to help me. They're trying to comfort me and try to console me in my lonely hours. And I appreciate that so very, very much. But you pray for me, more so me than her, as she's with her daddy. And I'm not, my daddy's in heaven. And, okay, forget all that stuff. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew, I didn't get nowhere of that. And, okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or, nor it says, yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Look at it, if you will, in verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither, it says, do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Think about the words of this. Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit onto his stature? Look at verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye a little faith? Now, I want to kind of examine the last couple of words in that last verse that I read, being verse 30, where the Bible says here, O ye of little faith. We have been studying about faith. Let me give you a quick review. We talked about faith. Faith is acting on our belief. We talked about it takes faith to please God. Faith is our belief in action. Substance and things accomplished are objects of our faith. Things in the future are objects of faith. Faith is given and nurtured by the Word of God. And faith is acting upon that which is given and nurtured, which is that belief. We talked about how to increase your faith, and I showed you last week as we talked about how that there are some that have no faith. Of course, that was also the disciples found in the book of Mark chapter 4, where the disciples were facing a raging storm, and they found the Lord asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And the Lord said, how is it that you have no faith? And these were the disciples. We talked about how the disciples were also given as an example in the Bible of people that had little faith, how that God had taken care of them. But yet, here in the scriptures, as we talk to those that have little faith tonight, this is about the disciples, as we saw in the book of Matthew chapter 6 that we'll study tonight. And we saw that the disciples were also people that prayed for an increase of faith. In Mark chapter 17, it was the disciples that were asking for an increase of faith because they had trouble forgiving people. And that's the book of Luke chapter 17, where the apostles came unto the Lord and said, increase our faith. Then we saw that there was the centurion. The centurion had great faith. Matter of fact, so that the Lord mentioned him in the book of Matthew chapter 8, and he said, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And that was a soldier, never saw a miracle, never slept beside that which is the spoken word of God, never one time was in the ministry of Christ, but yet the Bible says the centurion, a soldier, if you will, a man of war, had that which was great faith that was not once named among anybody else in the entire nation of Israel. Then you saw that there was a deacon that had full faith. The book of Acts chapter 6 talks about Stephen. The Bible talks about Stephen being a man full of faith. Now here's what we saw about faith last week. We saw that God gives a measure of faith to everyone. Everyone is given the same measure of faith. God provides faith for the unsaved. God provides faith for the saved. Now you may take that faith and put it anywhere you want to. You can put that faith into baptistry if you want to, but it's not a saving faith that will give you. You can take that faith and put it in the government, but yet the government in hard times, if the entire nation hits zero and plummets down below that which is common humanity, can I tell you the government's not going to be of any use to you. But you can take that faith, if you will, and put it in God. God will give you back a greater degree of faith than what you gave him, because God blesses those as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, we saw this last week as well. You can be a good soul winner, not get things from God. You can be a good church attender, not get things from God. You can be separated as a Christian and not get things from God. You can be a loving Christian, not get things from God. You can be a dedicated Christian, not get things from God. You can be a kind person, not get things from God. You can be a good person, not get things from God. The only way that you're going to get things from God is by faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is asking, believing, and by the way, watch this, sometimes even doubting what you asked for and what you started to believe, but yet stepping out on the belief and forsaking the doubt. Now, I want to give you some things tonight about little faith. Statement number one, little faith is usually saved, but sometimes doubts it. Little faith is usually saves, but doubts it sometimes. Doubts it sometimes. Sometimes it doubt it, okay? Let me give you an example. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 2, the Bible says, and Jesus called, it says, a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. So he's bringing this child in, put him in the midst of them, and he's going to use this child as an example. Now watch the example. Look at verse 3 of Matthew chapter 18 if you're there. The Bible says, and he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as what? Little children. He says, you should not enter into the kingdom of heaven. All right, so here's what we see. We see little faith is usually saved, but doubts it sometime. So somebody has a little faith. A little faith's name is written in the book of life, but doubts it sometime. A little faith says, well, I have enough faith. I think that's little faith. Little faith says, well, I think that heaven is secure. I hope. A little faith is this. A little faith is enough, if you will, many times to get saved, but that person gets saved, sometimes they'll back off and they'll begin to doubt it. Now, wait a minute. Let me explain something to you. If a person truly gets saved and you give them assurance, I'm going to get on a little rabbit trail for just a moment, but if a person gets saved and they get saved, and stay with me now, they get saved, I'm talking about they understand they're lost. and they get saved. A lost person, a sinner, lost, undone, and they need salvation. Now, when they get saved, they're supposed to be what? After they get saved, they're supposed to be baptized, all right? But if a person gets assurance of salvation, they don't need to get baptized again because of the fact they didn't get saved, they simply got assurance of salvation. The old-time preachers used to call it affirmation, all right? And so because they got assurance of salvation, they don't need to get baptized again. But if they get saved, in other words, person comes in, they say, well, I tell you what, made a childhood decision, not sure about it. I need to settle it because in my heart, I'm convinced that I'm not saved and I just don't want to continue to doubt this. And I think if I was to take my last breath right now, one thing I ask, especially older people, when they come in and they say this, they say, well, they say, I think I'm saved. Well, and that's not what the Bible says you ought to do. The Bible says these things have written on you that believe on the name of Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. All right, so it's not a think I'm saved that you're supposed to have. You're supposed to say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. All right, so I ask them this. I say, can you go back in a time when you can show me a time that you made a decision for Christ? And here's my question surrounding that decision, and that is this. Did you understand you was a sinner? Did you understand without a Savior as a sinner, lost and undone that day, if you were to die, that you would land in hell? Now, let me ask you a question. Here's my question. Would you be willing to risk eternity based on what decision you made back then? You see, it's not God that doubts salvation. It's the person that doubts salvation. God doesn't doubt anything that he's done. God's not the author of confusion. The devil's the author of confusion. But can I tell you, as long as you're hung up on this thing and you're not sure you're saved, now you need to get it settled. Get it settled that either you have been saved, washed in the blood, Lamb recorded in the book of life, sealed unto the day of redemption. Settle it. Settle it forever. And if you need to get saved, get saved, but if you have already trusted Christ, then reckon it so. Get assurance of salvation, that's what you need, and settle it forever, but don't keep visiting the matter over and over. You'll never do anything for Christ. All you'll ever do the rest of your life is just doubt it and 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 doubt it. You don't need to doubt it. You need to rise up and proclaim it and understand the fact that you've been saved if you trusted Christ as Savior. Now, by the way, you only get saved one time. But a child comes forward, I pray that you'll at least be patient with the children. Because if a child, your kid comes forward and says, well, I need to get saved. Wonderful. Okay? Take your time with them. Talk to them. Love them. Give them the scripture. Help them. You say, well, they'll embarrass me. They never should embarrass you. So my parent asked me one time, they said, well, preacher, when do you think my child will quit making decisions about Christ? A simple answer to that one, when they settle it, they'll stop making decisions. But until they do, don't worry about being embarrassed. You let that child be able to deal with that inside of their heart. Don't tell them they're saved. Oh, that's one of the stupidest things I've seen parents do. I know you got saved because you made a decision back at the age of 5. You know, you don't know what they did in their heart. You have no idea. Don't embarrass them, all right? So I'm saying that little faith sometimes has doubt. Statement number two, you can move from one degree. We saw this last week. I'll give you illustration about it towards the end of this. But you can move from one degree of faith to another degree of faith very quickly. You can move from one degree of faith to another degree of faith very quickly. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 gives testimony to that, I believe, where the Bible says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Now, how is it revealed? It says, from faith to faith. So you're going from one faith to another faith. It's not talking about the same type of faith. It's talking about you're going from one faith to another faith. All right? So it gives that which is the idea of moving from one type of faith to another type of faith. Now, here's what he says. He says, for therein it is the righteousness of God revealed, it says, from faith to faith, it says, as it is written, the just shall live by what? The just shall live by faith. All right, four times in your Bible does God say the just shall live by, talk to me, the just shall live by, all right, so the just is supposed to live by faith. Now, by the way, it would be nice if all of us had full faith all the time. It would be nice if all of us had great faith all the time. But you can't sit there and be honest before the Lord and say that you've always had great faith. You cannot sit there tonight and proclaim without fibbing, without lying, without distorting the truth, and say that you have had great faith all the time, full faith all the time, more faith all the time. You know, can I tell you how I know that to be true? Because the disciples probably were closer to the Lord, I would dare say, than your average Christian, and they moved from one level or one element or one, if you would please, place of faith to another place of faith in a relatively short amount of time. Now, let me give you, if I may, statement number three, how God uses little faith. I want to give you some Bible stories tonight, and I'll quit on time, but how God uses little faith. How can God use your little faith? Well, let me show you some Bible examples. There's the story of Elijah. The story of Elijah goes like this. Elijah was challenged by the prophets of Baal, of course. Now, if you will, please. And Elijah brought a challenge before them. Now, what was the challenge that he brought back to their table? He said to those that were the prophets of Baal, let's enter into a contest. Let's go to Mount Carmel, and let's enter into a contest. Elijah says, let's see whether your God, Baal, if you will, is greater than my God, Jehovah. And so they entered into a contest. Elijah, that great man of God, against the prophets of Baal. And he took an animal, placed it on the altar, and he said, you go first. And you pray to your gods, and you see if he'll send fire down to be able to consume the body of the animal. Now, by the way, he let him go first, and he said, you go ahead and you take care of that. Well, here's what they did. They prayed. No answer came. And so they begin to cut themselves. If you remember your Bible, they begin to cut themselves and jump up and down and holler louder. And no answer came. And Elijah started to make fun of them. You know, Elijah said, well, maybe your God is out pursuing, or maybe your God is being pursued. Started to make fun of them. Maybe your God's on a hunting trip. Maybe your God is out pursuing a deer, or maybe the deer is pursuing your God. Start to make fun of them. And Elijah said, well, maybe you need to cry a little bit louder because your God is deaf. All right? Then Elijah stepped up. And if I remember correctly, I've not counted the words in a long time, but if I remember correctly, if my memory doesn't fail me, he prayed only 52 words. And when he prayed 52 words, the God of heaven answered prayer and consumed, by the way, poured water, if you will, around the sacrifice, made it even harder. But yet the God of heaven can answer prayer even during times of hardness. And so God answered prayer. Now wait a minute, the great faith, would you not say that's great faith? Would you not say that's full faith? Would you not say, here's a man that got a hold of the horns of the altar like David did of old, and he shook the horns of the altar, and God answered prayer, and God consumed that which was the sacrifice. But wait a minute, I'm telling you, you can move from a little faith to full faith relatively quickly, and you can move from a full faith to that which is little faith very quickly. Now, why do I know that? Well, here's Elijah. All of a sudden, God answered prayer. The next thing you see about Elijah is Elijah had run 100 miles from Jezebel that had threatened him, and he's sitting underneath a juniper tree and saying, I wish I was dead, and he's asking God to kill him, and he's wanting to commit suicide. Now, wait a minute, here's what happened. He went from great faith to no faith in a relatively short amount of time. That's Elijah. I'm saying tonight that you can go from different types of faith. Well, take the story of Abraham. Abraham was told by God to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. And as he's supposed to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, by the way, that's somewhere there between Iraq and not very far from Baghdad. And so he's supposed to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. And God told him to do that. And so he decided to get his wife. And they were going to move. And so, but they didn't know where they were going to move. Now, how'd you like to tell your wife that? You go in and say, honey, pack up, we're leaving. Where are we going? I don't know. Well, don't you think you ought to know where we're going before we go? I don't know. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Now, wait a minute, watch this. And so Abraham had enough faith in God to pack up and to leave, if you would please, the Ur of the Chaldees. He was going to travel hundreds of miles, not knowing where he's going to go. And all of a sudden, he lands in a land, and there's famine in the land. And because there's famine in the land, he had enough God trust to be able to step out and to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. But then all of a sudden, a famine hits the land where he lands, and he loses his great faith. And he goes down to Egypt, if you would please. Egypt is always a picture of darkness, always a picture of wickedness, always a picture of that which is evil, always a picture of that which is unholy. And he goes down to that which is Egypt land, and here's what he does, and he puts his faith in man. Now, wait a minute. So he went from a great faith to relatively no faith at all. You can go from one degree of faith to another very quickly. Oh, take Peter. I've never seen a man in my life that's been so up and down as I have studied the life of Peter. By the way, we pick on him a lot, don't we? We do. When you hear about Peter, what's it remind you of? Big mouth? What's it remind you of? Somebody speaks before they think? I've often said that John the Beloved thought before he spoke. That's why he didn't say much. Peter always spoke before he thought. That's why he said too much. But Peter, here Peter is. Peter walked on the water. Now we'll criticize him. We'll say, oh, Peter, man of a lack of faith that denied the church and denied the disciples and denied the Christ. And we make fun of Peter. But can I tell you, I don't know of too many preachers that walked on the water. I wouldn't be too quick to judge him, though we do. But at least he had enough faith to get out of the boat. All right, now wait a minute, watch this to be real. So here's what we understand. So Peter was the one that walked on the water, exercised great faith, but then you'll find this, that also after that, by the way, he's denying the Christ, he's denying the church, he's denying the brothers, he's denying the disciples, he's denying the truth. He sits by that which is a fire, and a damsel comes up and says, your speech doth betray you, you're one of them. And he, with great earnestness, looked at that which was the damsel and says, I know not the man. He denied Christ all the way through. Now wait, after all this happens, he denies the Lord, but you're going to find out when shortly thereafter that he did know it was the Lord, and he did come to his senses, and he preached the day of Pentecost, and over 3,000 conversions took place. Now wait a minute, here's Peter. All the days of his life. You remember Peter, don't you? He's the one that they were heading over to the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember Peter, don't you? Peter looked at the Lord and he said, now, Lord, I'm going to tell you this. He said, I'd be willing to go to jail for you. I'd be willing to die for you. Then they entered into the lip, if you would please, of the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was Peter, James, and John. And the Lord said, you stay here and you pray, and I'll go and pray. And he came back, and sure enough, as soon as he came back, which I don't think was very long, he came back, and those three fellas was in la-la land, counting sheep, Baptist sheep, of course, but counting sheep, solidly asleep, dreaming, snoozing, no doubt. All right, now wait a minute. And so this is Peter. This is the Peter that went up with great faith and hit great lows and went greatly up and hit great lows and went greatly up and hit great lows and hit greatly up. You know what I find out about people? I find out that the greater the asset they are, also their counterpart many times is the greater the liability they are. Hello? You know, somebody that will accomplish something great, many times you have to pick them up because they get very low also. Now, not all men are made that way. So don't think I'm slapping at you tonight because I'd slap at me first. But Peter was certainly that way. Now, Peter was somebody that had great faith, small faith, great faith, small faith, great faith, small faith, great faith, no faith, great faith, doing something great for God, can't find him, hiding behind the pillars and ashamed of Christ. I mean, just in and out, he'd make you go dizzy. You wouldn't need to go to Six Flags and get on a ride. You'd just sit beside Peter. Okay, now I'm saying this. I'm saying there's a story of Peter. Think about the disciples, if you will. Jesus, of course, was crucified. Now, wait a minute. Where's all the disciples at? Where are they at? The only one that you find at the foot of the cross is John the Beloved. Where's all these guys that said, I'll stay beside you and I'll serve you and I'll be close to you? Now, by the way, can I tell you something? You can't always judge a book by its cover. You remember a time there were 700 that followed our Lord, very close. Went from 700 to 500. Then went from 500 to 120 praying in the upper room. Then went from 120 praying in the upper room to 70 that he sent out two by two into every village and highway place to preach the gospel. 70. And then went from the 70 to the 12. One of those was a traitor. Then it went from the 11 down to the inner circle disciple, Peter, James, and John, 3. Then it went from the 3. When he finished up his ministry, he only had one left. Now, can I tell you, don't be too hard on people. Don't be too hard on people. You hear about a church, and I hear about different ones often, and their attendance is going down. I thank God what God is doing here is just the blessedness of the Lord Jesus is what it is. But I hear about churches all over the country, and some of you have too, where they go down. Now, by the way, just because somebody goes in the valley doesn't mean they're going to stay there. Oh, come on, be fair. You look at old Lot sitting in the gate. If you would have saw Lot sitting in the gate down there at Sodom with all those other people sitting in the gate, that meant that he had at least enough prestige by those that were officers that were governing the city that he was allowed to sit beside them. And you would have looked at him and said, "You wretched man, you. You wretched man, you." But then God himself, looking at the entire life of Lot, towards the end of his days, he looked at Lot. You know what he pronounced about Lot? Here's what he said, "Lot the righteous." You say, what do I do if I have a friend that's dipping, backsliding? What do I do if I have a friend that's distanced from the Lord? Well, first off, you don't give up on them. Yeah. Second off, instead of talking bad about them and criticizing them, why don't you pray for them? Yeah. Third off, why don't you encourage them? By the way, encourage them by your lifestyle that's so holy. Encourage them. Okay, now I'm saying this. Here's the disciples, okay? The same disciples later, these very same disciples, remember they forsook him. Only one's at the cross, John. Only one. Where's these other guys? Why in the garden did they leave and did they disperse and did they cowardly run away? Why in the world did they do that? I don't know, you don't know. When we get to heaven, I guess we could ask them. But I don't know. You don't know. But we know this. We do know this. That it was after the resurrection of Christ that these disciples turned the world upside down. So I guess we ought not to judge them too quickly. See, people can go from extremes of, I mean, these same disciples that charged Jerusalem and over 3,000 saved and later 5,000 saved and God used them and they stuck their necks out for God and they stood up for God and they went forward serving God and many of them were crucified. Even old Peter, don't be so hard on him. Here he was, came time for the crucifixion, time of himself. And here's what he said. He said, don't crucify me like my Savior. I don't deserve it. He said, crucify me upside down because I don't feel worthy to be crucified like my Savior. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying this. There are great, great degrees of faith. You think of Thomas. When you think of Thomas, what do you think of? You think of doubting Thomas. Is that right? Doubting Thomas. Can I remind you, please, that he was the single first missionary that ever went to India? Can I tell you the story that if you go to India today and the parts where Thomas had walked the ground, they still remember to this day the apostle Thomas that was speared and arrowed to death there in India and he gave his life as a martyr. I'm just saying don't be so hard on him. Okay, now watch this. Let me give you some stories of some of the fellows that I heard many years ago or read books by many years ago. And there's Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was a great preacher. In his day, he preached to crowds only second in attendance to Billy Sunday. He was the contemporary to Billy Sunday. He had great crusades, great city-wide crusades. He's preaching over here in Marshall, Texas, and all of a sudden the people got mad at him. The choir had 150 people that were singing in the choir that night, and they got mad at him, and they refused to sing. He got up and he said, "Let me tell you about that choir." He said, "Let those who refuse to sing that never knew their God." And he chewed them out right there. He said, "You bunch of backsliders," and he chewed them out right there, and they got up and they sang that night, and God gave a great revival that night. But wait a minute, he missed his mother. He loved his mother. The story goes that he went down to find if you would please, one of these spiritualists that had a ball and could look in the ball, so they pretendingly did, and could see different people. And he went to one of these soothsayers, if you will, and said, "I miss my mother. Can you bring my mother up from the dead?" And so he went to one of these soothsayers, and they supposedly brought his mother up, and he talked to his mother supposedly and said, "Now, who do you see, Mama? Who do you see?" And she said, "Well, I see your Uncle John, and I see your Aunt Sue," and started to name a bunch of names. And he jumped up and took his hand and pounded it on the table, and he said, "You're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar." He said, "If that was my mother tonight, the very first person that she would say that she saw is the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a liar." But he went from great faith to small faith. Dr. Hiles used to tell the story of, Dr. Rice used to tell the story of A. Ironside. He used to pastor the Moody Church many years ago, and he told the story of how Ironside had heard, he had a cough, and he heard that if you go out, now stay with me now, he heard that if you go out and you smoke cigarettes, that it take away your cough. Now here's a preacher. You know what he did, Brother Bell? He went out and bought himself a pack of cigarettes. Preacher. Hello? Now, I think that's pretty bad. Now, thank God I have deacons. They don't smoke. As far as I know, they don't chew. From time to time, they drink a little bit, but I mean, as far as I know. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. They don't. That was told to me by somebody else. They don't. Now, watch this, if you will. He's kneeling down there in between two of the trains, and all of a sudden, what happened? All of a sudden, Dr. Rice came down, and he saw this man kneeling down. He'd not lit up one, but he was kneeling down, getting ready, and Dr. Rice patted him on the shoulder and said, "Dr. Ironside, what are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, I'm so ashamed." And he was just so apologetic. "I'm so ashamed. I shouldn't be doing this. I listened to one of my members, and they told me to do this, and I thought they were a good person, and I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed." But he went from great faith to little faith. Now, by the way, I'm saying that everybody does that. They go from top to bottom to top to bottom. And I'm not saying it's right. I wish we could all live with great faith, don't you? Now, get a load of what I'm saying before you leave here and get ugly and criticized. I'm saying we all should have great faith. You hear me? I'm saying we all should have great faith. I'm saying we all should have full faith. But I'm saying if somebody just happens to dip, then stop kicking them and stop being mean to them and stop criticizing them, because if you were honest, there was a day in your life when you dipped, and you thank God that somebody did not criticize you. Now, I'm saying this, statement number next, and I'm done. What God did with little faith people in your Bible. Here's some examples, and I'm done. What did God do with little faith people in the Bible? Here's what he did. He called down fire from heaven. Little faith people. There was one that walked on the water. Little faith people. There was one that was preserved in the wilderness along with about 3 million other Jews. Little faith people. The lame walked, the blind did see. Those were freed from prison. The deaf did hear, the dumb did speak. Now, I'm saying that God uses little faith. Little faith. Now, here's what you do, and here's what I do, and I know you do it because I know I do it. Here's what you think, and here's what I think. Well, if I don't have a great degree of faith, then I'm just not going to serve God, because I just don't have enough faith that God will do it. But can I tell you, I would rather somebody, I would rather, watch me, if the will of God is over there, that's the will of God. The will of God is over in the orchestra. That's the will of God. You listen to me tonight. Whether you run to the will of God or whether you take little bitty steps to get to the will of God, to me, is not as important as if you're making progress in getting to the will of God. The ones I worry about is the ones that know the will of God. Stay with me. The ones that know the will of God and they turn their back on the will of God and they decide they're going to do what they want to do and they walk away living their life. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to find trouble down the way. Okay, so somebody is not running to the will of God as fast as you are. Okay, encourage them. Don't criticize them. Don't beat them up. Don't hurt them. Don't try to destroy them. Encourage them. You've heard me say this, and I've said this before. I say it tonight. I'd rather somebody go out soul winning and go 30 minutes than not at all. I'd rather somebody pass out tracks and not go soul winning than to not pass out tracks. I'd rather you pray a little bit than not pray at all. You know, you're here in church tonight. Can I tell you, for some of you, that's a spiritual, gigantic victory. You just started coming to church on Wednesday night. And it's a gigantic victory for you. Well, can I tell you, man, I can't begin to tell you how proud I am of you, but it is better to get little victories in your life than no victories. Come on. Okay. Last illustration. You can sit at the dinner table and eat it all. Put your face all over your face, up your nose, in your ears, falling out your eyes. Or you could take it one spoon at a time. You know, I know, now I'm a fast eater, and I do apologize. Sometimes I embarrass myself. Now, I don't do it that way. But sometimes I embarrass myself. I'm such a fast eater, and I do. I got in a, I'm 53. I'm 53, and I got in the habit, 53. I got in the habit years ago. I was in Bible school years ago, 18, 19, 20, around that age, I got in the habit of eating fast. I owned my own business, and I was in a hurry all the time, and I had guys working for me, and I needed to make sure they were getting done what they need to get done. And I got in the habit of eating fast, and horrible habit. Embarrassing. But I eat it quick. And my excuse is I eat it so I can fellowship. But horrible habit. Now, wait a minute, watch this. I want to tell you something. I've been out with people, and it takes them forever to eat. I know that when we go out to eat, I've got to at least budget an hour. And that's just for their time to eat. That's it. Forget talking. You can't talk to them. If you talk to them, it's going to take an hour and a half. Because you get them started in conversation, it's going to take an hour and a half for sure to be able to eat. Now, can I tell you, both of us have one thing in common. We have consumed the food. We have consumed the food. Some consumed it slower. Others consumed it quicker. Some consumed it messier. Others consumed it nicer, cleaner. But the food's gone. Okay, now wait a minute. That's like the will of God. You see people doing the will of God. They look like they're a drunken man doing the will of God. Always off track. You know, they get off here a little bit And then they get back on, and that's like a Peter, you know. I mean, it's just like a Peter, up and down. But at least he was making progress, you see. And up and down and up and down and discouraged and happy, but making progress. Well, I'd rather see somebody make progress than not progress. Hello? Then you see, I like John the Beloved, but John the Beloved, he just going along, and I don't think he's a thumb sucker, but just going along and just, you know, just real quiet and unobservant at most, and just quiet, you know, kind of behind the scenes, nobody seeing him much, just making sure it got done, did not need the accolades of praise. Just loving the Lord Jesus, very quiet, loving people, trying to stay as close to the Lord as he could. Hello? Now God uses all types. And if somebody's not your type, that doesn't mean they're not right with God. Well, they got to be just like me. If that be true, we're all in trouble. Now, I'm saying this. Take the little faith that you have. And whatever little faith that you have, use it to pray. Whatever little faith that you have, use it to read your Bible. Whatever little faith that you have, use it to go to church. Whatever little faith that you have, use it to pass out a gospel tract. Whatever little faith that you have, use it to be faithful to your family. Whatever little faith that you have, use it to lead your children. Whatever little faith that you have, use it. Use it. Use it. It'd be far better for you to use your little faith than these other spiritual giants, so they brand themselves, that have big faith, never use it at all. Use your little faith.